Just thinking about the day you've had today. How many things or times can you recall that you said something or you did something that you wished you hadn't or you regretted? Just one time or a couple times. And what about the things you did that you feel quite happy about, that you feel were good things? Good things that were done or said. So one of those times you can remember today, or maybe even a few. And when you're thinking about this, was there a sense of one of those recollections being possibly easier? Was it easier to recall the things that were negative or remorseful? Things that you wished you hadn't done or said? Or perhaps it was the positive things, those came to mind quite easily. Those things that you were very happy for, happy to have done or said, or even those things you were thinking, activities that you did. Or perhaps they were the same, you didn't notice any difference. For me, I find it's much easier to recall the regrets, to find those in the mind or as they come up. So the retrieval of them is much quicker, easier. The memory of them is perhaps clearer. Whereas when I think about the positive things, those things that I have happiness for having done, I feel there was goodness I'm grateful for, those things are slightly or sometimes much more difficult to recall or to bring up. As I was out today at Hendy Woods, I went out with my mom, and who's visiting right now, and Ajahn Tita Pano, Tankantiko, and we had the meal together. And then we went to Hendy Woods, which was a bit of a drive, some adventure during pandemic time when there's not a lot of going out. And as we were walking into the woods, I just admired the grandiosity, the incredible sight of these trees and how far they went into the sky. The size of them, the sense of time and age. And then there was this sense of sadness that arose. So it's quite sad there's so few of these trees left. And it's sad that there's been so much damage to the natural world, to the planet. And I recall the time in my life when I felt very deeply about preserving the redwoods, the forest, and could get depressed about the fact that they were disappearing. and that this was the cause of human greed. And yet there I was. I was in the forest with my friends and my mother. And I just asked myself, well, what is, you know, it's just so easy to just see what's wrong, but what, you know, what is right in this moment? This forest was truly you know, a sight to see. There was birds. There was a couple of birds there, and ferns, and the trees were just so majestic, and each one of them different. And even the heat of the day was cooled by this forest. And so I asked myself, in being with the present moment, you know, where is this sadness occurring? It's a story that's being brought in, a reproduction of continued repetition of sadness and regret, or really a criticality, a negativity. But there was nothing wrong in that forest. It was quite beautiful. In fact, it was ideal for contemplation and quiet. And yet the mind moves in this way. And I would guess my mind is not so different than others. So the question is, you know, why is it so easy to move into a sense of really what's wrong here? As we walked past a tree, I noticed a vine that had grown up, and it must have been about 6 inches in diameter. And I recognized, wow, okay, this vine was climbing right up one of these redwoods. And I was kind of marveling at it, just thinking, wow, this appeared to be strangling the tree. It went right up and added a great weight and had smothered it to a degree. And I thought, wow, after all these years that this forest has been here and it's been preserved, they've had a park here, and yet no one's cut down that vine. I thought, wow, if I wasn't a monk, I would go right over to that vine and cut it down. Because we're trying to preserve these trees. There's so few of them left. And nothing so special about that vine. And in that short story, it just illustrates how easy it is for the mind to just flip, to continually be finding something that's not right, that there's something to really have an experience of discontent. There has to be something to do. There has to be something to make right. I could have this forest more beautiful than it is. The stupidity of the whole idea of that. Doesn't that vine have a place? Doesn't it have a life? And so we have these intentions in our mind, these ways that our minds work, the stories we have, the movements, what we call fabrications, sankharas, and we just believe in them and we move into them so very easily. And it's amazing, really, how easily we can be tricked. The Buddha will talk about kind of the sense of the khandhas as being like a murderer or an assassin. And we trust them. We trust the sense of our contact or our form and the pleasant or unpleasant feelings or the perceptions we have or these mental formations, these sankharas, creations, fabrications, our own consciousness. And we believe in them and we think that they're something to trust. All of these stories we have, the ways that we feel, we put our sense of reality into them, of rightness, But the Buddha talks about them as being like something that we trust so much, but they're like a servant that we believe is on our side, like someone who is really looking after us. And we keep putting more and more trust into them, but we don't see that that servant is actually carrying a knife. We just continue to create that trust, that deep trust. We let go into it, and then all of a sudden we can get the knife stabbed into our back. Because we're trusting in something that isn't substantial. It's not worthy of something that we can really put our trust into. It's not something that we can see that is ultimately beneficial for us, because it's constantly changing. It's just a mirage. And we can see this so much in the modern world, just all the things that we put our trust into that ultimately don't help us so much. And so we're kind of aiming in that wrong direction, but we don't see that it's that kind of movement of mind that we're tricked by. And so we have to learn ways to lift ourselves out of the muck, and to recognize what it is that we trust in, these sort of negative stories or this sense of discontent that something isn't right and it should be right, and there's something wrong if it isn't right. When we have the potential to uproot that, to see that clearly, and then we have the motivation to move against that or away from that, then we're seeing the essence of the Buddhist teachings. Like, you can't trust that sense of discontent. It's just being led on by desire. Sort of our own creation of dukkha. So there is a choice we have. When I began talking and I asked about the recollection of either negative actions of speech, body, or when we can recall the good things that we're happy to have done. It takes that intention to move away from that negativity. It takes that sort of sense of like, oh, well, actually, maybe I'm not seeing things clearly or correctly. For myself, I see that it is so much harder to move in that direction. Like, what's actually right here? And is it possible to see that what I'm seeing is wrong is actually right? We were talking today at tea, and just at the end, there was a statement about wanting something and then receiving it, but then just not being happy that this person got what they wanted. And you can ask yourself, like, how common that is in your own experience. You want what you don't have, and then when you have it, you don't want it. And the amazing thing about that is not that desire in and of itself, but the fact that we get tricked by it so often. And just to recognize, oh, right, I actually didn't want this. Or it's not bringing the satisfaction that I thought it would. Or there's some disappointment around it. What's amazing is that we're, as the Buddha says, ever seeking fresh delight. Now here, now there. So we recognize that sometimes or often. Oh yeah, I'm not really satisfied in this, but I'll be satisfied in the next thing. Whatever that thing might be. I mean, it can be, you know, the next new place that I'm going to, you know, the next sip of water, the next family gathering, when I leave the monastery, the next person I'll meet. Each one of us has this next possibility. And so it's a sense of really examining that discontent, that movement of mind, that sense of, oh, this is wrong, this isn't work, this isn't right, or I want something better. But then we bring in that sense of rightness or clarity, as I was talking about being in the woods and just saying, oh, well, this is actually quite right in and of itself. Just the stories that make it wrong. My mom gave me some letters that I wrote to her from camp when I was a child. I think I was eight or nine years old. And one of the things I noticed in one of the letters, it was a letter that actually gave some things for me to fill out. So it was, I feel, or I don't like, things like that. And one of the statements I said is, I said, I don't like my bunkmates today. And I delighted in that because I thought, wow, rather than dwelling in a world of just like forever, I don't like any of these people. I'm like, just right now, this is how it's going. It's interesting just to see like also the patterns, because I wrote another letter where I talked about how much I just thought my bunkmates were mediocre. And I can see like, old habits die hard. It's very easy to dwell on the negativity of others sometimes. To see the negative qualities much more so than those finer or those sort of like more beautiful qualities that people exhibit. Not everybody works that way. Some people have an easier time seeing the positive. But we have to actually work our minds. It's like the Buddha had this, I think it's called chunam or something, and it's something like a pasty soap or something that was used to wash a body or wash a bowl or something like that. And you have to kind of work it, I think, to get it soft and to use it as an actual like soap. And I think about the mind sometimes like that, like you have to work the mind in that way. It's not like this harsh kind of, come on, just make sure you like everything. It's like, well, actually, what's right here? What's right here with the people I live with or the situations I'm in? And we have to actually try to turn our minds around. We have to put that effort in, that quality of what's called katanyu katawedi, which is interesting because I'm not a Pali expert, but I believe those two words mean essentially like to know what's been done or to acknowledge what's been done. And we take them to mean, in Pali, essentially what gratitude is, gratefulness is. So I'm not sure where the movement is from acknowledgement of something that's done to that being an actual positive quality, but that's what those words mean. And so I think it's quite easy to sometimes see where, if we ask ourselves, well, what am I actually grateful for? It can be quite surprising sometimes to say, wow, how is it so hard to not recognize that? And so we're not just only dropping the negativity, dropping the creations that we have, these stories, the trust that we have in something that isn't usually beneficial for us, but we're also picking up gratitude, we're picking up a sense of seeing what is not necessarily correct with our perception and trying to turn that perception around. You know, there were many times today when, with my mother, I, as I would imagine most children are with their parents, reverted to some sort of infantile states, wishing something to be possibly different. But then there was that same flip over at the same time. Oh, well, there's just so much to be grateful for. There's so much gratitude for having been raised and given so much from my mother. And I question, you know, wow, it's quite interesting how easy it is to go the other way, whereas it's just such an obvious lie to believe in like pet peeves or negativity or anything like that. And then what happens when we have gratitude is the mind is able to be quite buoyant. There's a lot of freedom that occurs within that experience of gratitude. We recognize what is really there is happiness. Because I would say that it's almost impossible to be happy without gratitude. That acknowledgement of what has been done for us. So we move into that mind of gratitude, and then we see that there's so much benefit that can be had from it. And I think most of us know this to a certain degree, but it's a very good reminder. You know, I can look down as a monk and I can just see that everything I have is something that's been given to me. I've really enjoyed Ajahn Amaro's reflection that basically every part of our body has basically been regenerated over a 7-year period. And so this body is just given. And so if I've been bhikkhu for more than, this is my 14th year, so that's twice over. I've lived because I've been fed by others. I've been given shelter and clothing, medicine. And what's interesting as a monk is then we can really see that there's just so much to be grateful for, and yet of course we have difficult days and it can be trying sometimes, and even wondering, you know, what's the good in all this and what's the purpose of really being a monk or a nun? What's the monastic life for? And then we can reflect on this gratitude, and immediately there can be so much happiness that arises. And there's just so much surprise that there was anything really to be negative about in the first place. Even when we lament about our practice, you know, it's just not going well, or what have I learned after all these years? There's just so much still to be grateful for. So I think that this is a helpful practice to really encourage, if you find especially that the mind can much more easily recall what is one feels remorseful for or negative about, critical of. That sense of katanyu katawedi, that sense of gratefulness is there as something we can bring into our minds and rejoice in. And when we do that, we find that our ability to experience peace, to be able to say, I feel peaceful today, it's much more open to us. And when our minds are peaceful, we're much more able to be very collected and clear. And then we have the ability to much more easily understand the Buddha's teachings, the contemplations, the reflections, the understanding of the Four Noble Truths. So I offer that for some words of reflection tonight.